Update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Fast away, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 8th of February, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. A background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. One new case of COVID-19 in isolation on the Isle of Man. We have one person in Nobles as well. Are our essential services safe from COVID? Burton's, Dorothy Perkins and Wallace all going from Douglas. The final word on can you import a pet? And more defibrillators on the Isle of Man mean more chance of saving a life.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Tessa Hawley.
Fastamai. One new case of COVID-19 has been detected in the Isle of Man. It's from a returning traveller who is in self-isolation. It means the current number of active cases stands at 4. A Douglas East MHK has been given permission to ask an urgent question in the House of Keys tomorrow. Chris Robertshaw's concerns surround safeguards for steam packet crew and for its services. He'll ask what provision the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation make for protecting essential services. Retail staff in Douglas are waiting to find out about the future of their jobs. It's after Burton, Dorothy Perkins and Wallace were bought out of administration by the online fashion retailer Boohoo. It's left those working in the Isle of Man branches of the clothing retailers on Duke Street and Strand Street uncertain about what happens next. Further afield, and the Labour leader says the South African variant of coronavirus is the single biggest risk to the UK. Sir Keir Starmer has been reacting to a study suggesting one jab is less effective against it, although Boris Johnson says all the vaccines do still help prevent serious illness. Another 333 people in the UK have died after contracting COVID-19. Figures also show more than 14,100 others have tested positive for the virus within the latest 24-hour periods. And the Prime Minister's admitted he's concerned about crime rebounding when coronavirus lockdown measures are eased. A 22-year-old man was killed in one of a number of stabbings over the weekend. The victim's mother has since called on Boris Johnson for help. Manx Radio News at 5:32, news in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Karamaya, thank you, Tessa. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea Weather indicates strong winds in the North Irish Sea at the moment. Dry and clear on the island with a moderate east-northeasterly. Low temperature freezing point, it will be several degrees below that on the hills, so there's a yellow warning for ice and frost. Tomorrow, Jumert, Tuesday, dry and sunny with a fresh to strong easterly. Always a possibility of snow flurries up to 3 degrees Celsius. Overnight minimum again, freezing point. Into Wednesday, Ukraine, dry, clear, less breezy, but with a sharp frost at first and again later and up to 3 degrees. Sunset was 20 minutes ago. High water, 4 minutes past 9 tonight. Low water, 20 to 4 a.m. Sunrise, 9 minutes to 8 tomorrow morning. And the morning high water is at 20 to 10.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascias and soffits, visit Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom in Snugborough.
The House of Keys will start tomorrow with an urgent question from Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw. He wants details of the Joint Committee on Vaccine and Immunisations provisions on protecting essential services like the steam packet and its crew. John Moss spoke to Chris Robertshaw.
I don't think the word unhappy is perhaps the right one, John. It's a question of, as the government itself says, keeping everything under review consistently. And as you know, and we all know, that the information available to us is continually changing. And the latest information we've got, which is, of course, good news, is that the Oxford-AstraZeneca inoculation, and presumably others, has the effect of inhibiting or significantly diminishing transmission. We weren't aware of that until very recently. So that effectively is a new piece of information which should impact upon our thinking with regard to the steam packet crews, who are really more than anybody else that I can think of, completely in the front line, because two-thirds of the crew live in the UK and one-third of the crews live on the Isle of Man. And they're constantly interacting with each other from time to time. Crews that live in the UK have to, as it were, overnight in the Isle of Man. So they are a particularly high-risk group, both in themselves, between them, within the crews themselves, and their interaction with passengers. And so, effectively, this situation is, to some degree, an Achilles heel. And steam packet crews are effectively more exposed, therefore, than anybody else that I know of, and as that Achilles heel, are capable of, as it were, bringing the COVID infection into the Isle of Man completely unwitting way. So here we have an opportunity now to, as it were, do something about it, now that we know the transmissibility is diminished.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
24 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio, retail staff in Douglas are waiting to find out about the future of their jobs. It's after Burton, Dorothy Perkins and Wallace were bought out of administration by the online fashion retailer Boohoo. Ewan Gawn.
The company has agreed to purchase the Arcadia Group brands for £25 million. This includes digital assets and intellectual rights, but doesn't include stores, which means 2,450 jobs across the UK and the Isle of Man are at risk. It's left those working for the clothing retailers here uncertain about their future. Manx Radio understands up to 20 people could be affected across the stores on Strand Street and Duke Street in Douglas. All three were open today after managers said they'll continue trading on a day-by-day basis at least. It's been confirmed that Wallace will open tomorrow, but it's not known whether Burton and Dorothy Perkins will follow suit. It follows the closure of Topshop last week, which cost 11 people here their jobs. Manx Radio has contacted administrators Deloitte for comment on the deal. More widely, the potential loss of more jobs on the island will come as a blow following the announcement last week that Lloyds Bank was cutting 120 roles on island.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham at a quarter past one this afternoon, arriving in Douglas shortly, well, about 10 to 5 this evening, so she's safely in harbour. Out again at 7:45 this evening, getting to Heysham at half past 11 and then leaving overnight early. Of course, Heysham's got a very shallow channel, so she's leaving at 1:30. Back tomorrow morning at 5:15.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
The Isle of Man government's defending its decision to enforce new rules on animal travel, despite the fact that none of our COVID-19 cases has been directly linked to pets. Any animals which travel to the Isle of Man must now complete self-isolation with the person they travel with and can't be exchanged even if it's in a socially distanced manner. The details from Tessa Hawley.
I would have to question anybody who tells me that going to collect a pet is absolutely essential.
That's Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Hewitt, who's clear in her view about pet travel in any form. For many, however, welcoming a new pet into their family or bringing their own back from veterinary treatment across is. Yet it's a process that's become more difficult as the pandemic rumbles on, with many relying on Good Samaritans who are already travelling to accompany their pet on the journey home. But the days of being able to collect an animal from the sea terminal, or indeed a self-isolation property, are gone.
Oh, my family can come and pick up the pet from me as I'm getting off the boat. No, they can't. Or, oh, I can just go and drop off the pet with my family while I go into self-isolation. No, you can't. Or, my family can just come over to my self-isolation address and pick up the pet. No, they can't. Neither can you go and drop a horse in a field for somebody else to pick it up from that field and look after it. But at any of those potential points of drop-off and collection, there is a potential for behaviours to go wrong, either the pet's behaviour or the human's behaviour. And that may be witting or it may be unwitting. We know from our experience of the clusters around Christmas, and indeed from the evidence across, that humans, all of us really, are very good at justifying ourselves. It's, oh, I can just give my kid a hug while he meets the new puppy. That will be all right. Well, actually, no, it won't. That could be enough to transmit the virus and set off another chain of transmission, as we saw earlier in the year.
So what sparked this shift in approach, and are these changes being implemented as a direct result of a known COVID case?
No, but that's not an argument against tightening the rules, because there have been cases attributed to people thinking it would just be okay to go into self-isolation addresses. And so, you know, although that wasn't around a pet, it could well have been. So all of these things have to be tightened up. And that includes the collection and exchange of anything and everything, whether it's a bag of laundry or a dog.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions.
19 minutes before six, Elon Musk has been at it. Tesla has bought more than $1.5 billion, that's £1.1 billion, worth of Bitcoin in January of this year, and expects to start accepting Bitcoin as a payment in the future. The news caused the price of Bitcoin to leap up 17% to $44,220, a record high. Tesla said it's trying to maximize returns on cash that's not being used in the day-to-day running of the company. Comes after days after Elon Musk added hashtag Bitcoin in his Twitter profile page, which drove up the price. He removed it days later, but has continued talking up Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, including Dogecoin, which jumped 50% after his endorsement. 7 of the 10 most innovative countries in the world can be found in Europe, according to a new ranking from Bloomberg. Switzerland, a world leader in financial and biotech, was the highest ranking European country. In third place, Germany was fourth, Sweden fifth, Denmark sixth, Finland eighth, and the Netherlands ninth, with Austria 10th. The other European countries, they were the other European countries in the Bloomberg Innovation Index. South Korea ranked first thanks to its increase in patent activity and strong R&D and manufacturing performance. Second place, Singapore, scored high because of its advanced digital economy and global competitive universities. The US slipped to 11th, China is 16th, and the UK showed them up in 18th place.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions. A global financial network you can trust. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were higher, with the markets tracking positive sentiment in Asia and the US. The dollar was flat, oil rose, gold jumped as expectations of the large US stimulus package bolstered bullion's appeal. In corporate news, Rolls-Royce declined on news it's temporarily closing its jet engine factories for 2 weeks, and Ocado lost ground following a report that the UK government's considering a tax raid on companies that have profited from the pandemic. The numbers now at the close from Ramsey Crookall at 5 o'clock in London, the FTSE 100 up 0.5% at 6,523. The DAX in Frankfurt closed flat at 14,059. Currently in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.33% at 31,243. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.25% at 13,894, and the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.25% at 3,894. And the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 37.3, €1 14, and 20 South African rand 42.9. Finally, in commodities, gold up 1.3% at $1,837 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 1.3% at $60.35.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
It's a quarter to six on Manx Radio. Thanks for tuning in to Manx Radio's update. And if you're listening as a podcast, thank you for joining that particular bus. Now, if you're heading home this evening, going home doesn't seem that much of a problem, but have you ever thought about if you didn't have a home? Would you know where to turn to if you found yourself without a home to call your own? Almost 300 Manx residents got in touch with the homeless charity GRI in 2020. The oldest person having to use the organisation's night shelter was 88 years of age. Erica Irwin is the manager of GRI.
That was a particularly difficult situation. We don't tend to get many older people. I'd say the average sort of age of a person that does come in would be around sort of the 20s, 30s, 40s sort of age. I think we shared the fact that our youngest person had been 18, because obviously we don't take anyone under 18, and then our eldest had been 88, just to show that actually homelessness can hit anybody. The issue isn't to a set group of people. It isn't because of certain set circumstances, and it's not to a particular age group. It can happen to anybody for different various reasons. In terms of homelessness on the island, I think perhaps there is this perception that because we don't see people sleeping in doorways or on the street, that it isn't there. What does homelessness look like on the Isle of Man? What different types are there? Homelessness looks very different than it does in the UK, and I think that's where the majority of the Manx public, I think they say that homelessness doesn't exist, because you'd go across to a big city and you'd see it in your face, wouldn't you, where there's a lot of street homeless. But for every street homeless person across, you could say there's like 12 sort of hidden homeless individuals. So if you take that concept here, and we only have hidden homeless, and what that means is that it's not necessarily in your face of people sitting on street corners, or we do have rough sleepers here, but not to the numbers that you would across. But because it's not in your face, it is very hidden, which means that you've got people who are maybe sleeping in their cars, maybe sleeping in tents, sleeping in garages sometimes, or graveyards even, or plantations. People who are sleeping sofa surfing, that's the big term that we tend to use over here between the charities, and that's where, you know, people offer up their spare room or their sofa and then people are able to stay. But that's not really home, is it?
Manx Radio Sport.
13 minutes before 6. No NYG Northern Hockey session tonight at 6 o'clock. It used to be on till 7:30 on the RGS Astro pitch. The next session of the Northern Hockey, the NYG Northern Hockey, is going to be at a fortnight on Monday 22nd. More sport now. Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, a very good evening to you. The debut of the Run with Reed Run Club is happening today. GB and Manx athlete Joe Reed is behind the campaign, hoping to ignite people with a passion for running and also help folks far and wide achieve their running goals. Run Club gets underway this evening at 6:30. Anyone interested in going along is invited to meet outside the dive shop in Port St Mary and is asked to wear bright clothing. There's no limit to numbers or ability. All are welcome if you're interested. And after some more information on Run Club, you're asked to direct message Joe via his @RunWithReed Instagram page. That link can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. At the weekend, more than 200 runners fought in muddy, slippy conditions at Ardwallan in the opening round of the Callum Wild Manx Fell League. Adult athletes took on the full 12-kilometre course, while juniors had their own 5-kilometre route. Gwilym Jones took the win in the long course in 1 hour, 7 minutes and 27 seconds, 2 minutes ahead of second place Oren Smith. First woman in the 12K and 24th overall was Alice Forster. She finished in a time of 1 hour, 27 minutes and 33 seconds. In the juniors and under-15s, runner Lucas Stennett was champion. He beat second place Kian Howard by just over a minute, completing the 5K course in 26 minutes and 29 seconds. Meanwhile, under-17s athlete Madison McMullen was the first girl to finish the race and seventh overall. She finished in a time of 31 minutes and 12 seconds. Nigel Maddox has posted a full list of results from both races on the Manx Fell Runners Facebook page. As always, that can be found on the Manx Radio Sports page. Further afield in rugby, and Wales coach Wayne Pivek reflected on his walking wounded after a tense 21-16 Six Nations win over 14-man Ireland. Dan Lydiate, Johnny Williams, Hallam Amos and Thomas Williams will miss next Saturday's game against Scotland at Murrayfield. Voting is now open for your BBC Indian Sportswoman of the Year. Duti Chand is one of the nominees. The 25-year-old national 100 metres champion, who trains six times a day, is India's first openly gay athlete and has risen from a humble background to become one of the nation's most promising sportswomen.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Just remember, there's a warning of ice across most of the exposed roads across the Isle of Man, but also places like the Liverpool Arms Matrix sign showing a warning of ice. From Ronald's Way, the 10 to 5 Liverpool Logan Air patient transfer flight left 10 minutes late at 5 o'clock. It's back at 20 to 7 this evening. Elsewhere on the roads, Factory Lane and Chapel Lane in Peel closed for highway reconstruction. Westlands in Peel is closed for demolition, refurbishment and extension. Also in Peel, there's a problem on East Quay, closed from the entrance from the boatyard, entrance to the boatyard to the junction with Mill Road. Station Park in Colby is closed, of course. Quarterbridge Road, all that interruption city is on through until, well, they say March at least. Keep your fingers crossed. And Glen Elphin Road in Ramsey, parking suspended due to nearby construction. All the details of what's happening on the Isle of Man at manxradio.com. Click on the news page and then on the travel tab.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside.
The network of defibrillators in public spaces around the Isle of Man is growing, according to Craig's Heartstrong Foundation, which is working to make the machines available in as many places as possible. They're used when someone suffers a cardiac arrest and can often save lives. Paul Healy is from Craig's Heartstrong Foundation.
Calling 999 is the most important thing for any situation like this. If there is a defib in the vicinity, then it's a real bonus, because it's going to help get the defibrillator to the patient before maybe even the ambulance arrives. We've seen it recently at Douglas Golf Club, where there was a cardiac arrest on one of the holes there, and the guys phoned 999. They told them where the defib was, which was on the clubhouse, and thankfully there was a guy there in a buggy who drove on down to the defib and brought it back. And you know, we met with the guy a couple of months ago, and it literally saved his life. So it's a good story. And you know, these defibs, that's all we want from them is good stories.
Do you hear about them when they are used? Do you know how often it is that they are able to
difference? Since we've put them out there, we've had three very good stories that we know of, and we've been contacted. There could be one or two out there that we don't know of, and if there are, come forward and let us know. But certainly there was one at Poker Stars a few years ago, the one that I've just mentioned at Douglas Golf Club, and then there was a one in a doctor's surgery as well that we donated. So three very successful stories. I mean, the impact that a defib can have on someone having a cardiac arrest is huge and could quickly save their life.
You said you've got some more ready to go out as well. What do you look for when you choose or find a location?
A location that's popular. You know, if there's power available. We've come stuck on a few occasions where we've found a good location, but there's no power.
Why the phone boxes have been such a successful idea?
Yeah, phone boxes are very useful because there's already power set up in them. Not many people go and use a phone box anymore. I think there are a few still knocking about on the island that are used, but it's a great idea. Some of the communities came to us and said, look, we've got a phone box here that never gets used. We'd like to commission it and put a defib box inside. So they're actually one of the best ideas that have come out of this.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
6 minutes before six, House of Keys members will be asked to form a three-person committee tomorrow to discuss with LegCo members the idea of dropping the number of votes required to get rid of a chief minister. Will they agree or will they snub LegCo? John Moss.
At one time, not so long ago, it took a vote of Tynwald members to unseat a chief minister or to vote down a council of ministers and thereby vote out of office their leader, the chief minister. It hadn't happened in 30 years, but it was there if required. Now, that system changed when Alfred Cannon suggested that the power to unseat a chief minister should lie with the body from whence the chief minister was drawn, the Keys. So, after debate, it was changed to an all-Keys affair, 16 votes, 2/3 of the full House. Now, this latest move, a private member's bill from Daphne Kane seeks to bring it down further to a simple majority in the House of Keys, 13 votes. It went through its stages in Keys and then headed upstairs to Legco, where a debate took place during the second reading, traditionally when the hard questioning starts in a bill's life. Leading the doubters was Jane Poole Wilson, MLC.
The debate in the House of Keys did highlight the issue and the matter of stability, the matter of stability of government on an ongoing basis, and the risks of populism or day-to-day ups and downs in some of the challenges that a government might need to bring forward, and whether adjusting the figure in the relevant section would in fact undermine stability. Now, I know one of the counter-arguments to that was over the last, I think, 30 years, we have not faced a confidence vote. But I think we also need to recognise that during that period, a different mechanism was in place.
The Legislative Council was told by the clerk that they could elect three of their members and go to the House of Keys, asking for a select committee also of their three Keys members to talk things over. The members chosen from Legco were Bill Henderson, Kate Lord-Brennan and Robert Mercer. But will they get to meet their Keys counterparts as a committee? For that to happen, a motion has to be put forward by a Keys member. No motion, no committee, no interbranch discussion. We shall have to wait and see if tomorrow, in the Keys, such a motion is put, seconded, and accepted by the House.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Alex Watton. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back tomorrow evening at 5:30. Have a good evening.